Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we do today, before we begin our lesson, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our study of thy word today. I pray for the saint of God listening today that they would be encouraged, edified, built up in the things of thee, Lord, that they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen them for the spiritual battle that they fight every day, Lord. Strengthen their hearts and their minds and their soul, Lord. Father, we do pray, if there be a lost soul listening today that's never trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for their sins and to secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the day that they believe with a heart of faith that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day to save them, to pay the price for their sins and secure them a home in heaven. And with the angels in heaven we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today's lesson we begin in the Gospel of John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. And we want to read together verses 38 down to verse 40. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In the verses preceding our text that we just read, Jesus speaks of himself is the great gift of God and the true bread. Christ is the life bread to the soul that physical bread is to the body. We must all admit that the body could not survive without food. Neither can the soul possess life without the bread of life, Jesus Christ. In verse 33 of John chapter 6, we read this: For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. There are over 300 names ascribed unto Jesus throughout the Word of God. Most of them are familiar to us. The Lily of the Valley, the Rock of Ages, the Bright and Morning Star, the Fairest Among 10,000. All of these are precious now that we are saved. But in that hour, when we were without Christ, perishing without hope, dying from the hunger of the soul, the truth that he is the bread of life was most precious. In the hour of salvation, we came to know the meaning of verse 35 of John 6. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. When we come to our text, we find the phrase, the will of him. In each of the three verses, Each of the verses describe the glorious will of the Father in providing for us so great salvation. He came from heaven, and the purpose of his coming was to do the Father's will. We are told of the threefold will of a loving God, a message that should be hard for any unsaved person to reject, a message that should make it hard for any Christian to deny their Lord and be unfaithful to his work. First thing we want to look at in verse 38 of John chapter 6 is the suffering will of God. The suffering will of God. We read this in verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The language used here is the language of the Garden of Gethsemane, when our Lord saw the cup of suffering, the awful sins of the world, and there prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see, he came from heaven. But we ask, what moved him to come from heaven to this earth to be treated so cruel? The answer is here. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You see, none of us will ever know the real suffering of Jesus Christ from the time he prayed in the garden until the final moment on the cross. We read of the thorn crowned brow, the beaten back, the pulling out of his beard, the smiting, the spitting, and finally the agony of the cross. But one thing we do know, and that is that our Father in heaven permitted it to happen. You see, my dear friend, it was love that sent him. It was love that caused him to lay down his life for us. A preacher told about being in a home where a little 4-year-old girl was, and he often teased her. One day she came bouncing into the room, and he stopped her and said, "Are you worth anything?" She grinned and said, "I guess not." The preacher said, "Well, why don't we just get rid of you then?" A little girl paused with great thought and then blurted out, "Because my mammy loves me." Why didn't God just get rid of us? We were no good. The answer is because he loved us. We've looked at the suffering will of God. Let's look at the sending will of God in verse 39 of John chapter 6. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Before Christ left heaven, God did know to what extent his suffering would be. Yet he sent him anyway. Jesus knew that by his coming, there would be many who would believe, and by believing would become his own. By becoming his own, they would never be lost. You see, this was the joy beyond the cross that Jesus saw as recorded in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We read this in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Which of us would send our son into a community where we knew he would be mistreated, beaten, and killed? Not one of us. Yet God sent his son knowing what would happen. You see, this is what pricked the heart of the multitude in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when Peter told them by wicked hands they had slain the Son of God. Yet Peter said, he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This great truth ought to prick every unsaved person's heart just to think that God so loved us that he sent his only son. The third thing I want us to look at is the saving will of God. We've looked at the suffering will of God, the sending will of God, and now the saving will of God in verse number 40 in John chapter 6. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This world has never been willing to accept God's way of salvation. But if God was willing to send his son, and if God was willing to let him suffer, then it only makes sense that God has every right to design the way of his salvation. There are many different beliefs today, many religious movements, and many denominations. But there is only one way of salvation. Multitudes are worshiping the day. Millions are following some man. But God's will in salvation is made clear and simple here in this one verse. First of all, seeing Jesus. He says, everyone which seeth the Son. Sinners have looked at church members and have never been saved. Looked at preachers and have never wanted salvation. Looked at this old world and desired to have their part of it and never turned to Christ. You will never be saved looking at anyone or anything outside of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the only one without fault. Seeing Jesus, number two, believing on Jesus, and believeth on him. Everyone which seeth the Son, that's seeing Jesus, and believeth on him, that's believing on Jesus. This world in general believes about Jesus, but only the Christian has believed on him. He is worthy of our belief and worthy of love and service. He came from heaven. His coming was to die for sinners. So the question I leave you with this as we move on to our next lesson, what have you done with him? Amen. Have you believed on him? Have you received him? Have you believed on him? Have you trusted in only his shed blood to save you, to pay for all your sins and secure your home in heaven? Or have you rejected him and someday going to face time and eternity in a lake of fire? Our next lesson takes us to John chapter 6, verses 60 and 62. Let's read those together. Gospel of John chapter 60, verses 60 to 62. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" It takes a lot to make some people believe. Here in our text, Jesus had just delivered a great discourse on the bread of life. It seemed to be difficult for the disciples to understand. They said it was an hard saying. According to verse 61, Jesus knew that what he had said had offended them. And he asked, "Doth this offend you?" While all of this doubt and misunderstanding seemed to sweep over the disciples, Jesus, as if he was upset at their unbelief, asked, "What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" There's a familiar term that we all use, which is, you wouldn't believe it if you saw it. It wasn't long after this that the same group did see the Lord ascend. Jesus had just taken them out to the Mount of Olivet and there instructed them concerning the future, and while he yet spake, he was taken up. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, these words. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." We preach and teach with one deep desire in our hearts, and that is to get unbelievers to believe. There are times when you would seemingly give anything to get the lost to believe and become a Christian. The one great message since the day our Lord went away is that he is coming again. Very few believe it today. The question is still the same. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man descend, would you believe if you saw it? I want us to look at a fourfold promise. Beloved, if you wait until you see it to believe it, then it will be too late to believe. If he should come now, only those who have believed will see him. There is a fourfold promise to those who will believe. The first one, believing without seeing anchors our soul. Believing without seeing anchors our soul. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 29, we read these words. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. If you wait until you see him descend, it will be too late." but by faith. If you will believe on him now, you can be saved. Believing on him removes all the condemnation, covers all the sin, seals us for all eternity, and gets us ready to see him when he comes for the church. Amen. The second promise I want to see us to see is believing without seeing affects our service. Believing without seeing affects our service. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8, we read these words. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Working for someone you've never seen, loving someone you have never touched, looking for someone you've never met. This does seem strange, but it puts a zeal into the heart of those who have been saved to work for him, labor for him, and tell others about him day in and day out. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." In other words, it puts him to work. It compels him. It drives him. The love of Christ. The third thing we want to see is believing without seeing amazes our associates. Believing without seeing amazes our associates. Luke chapter 5, verse 26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Every time a sinner is saved, transformed by the grace of God, and their life is changed, it amazes those who know them. To quit drinking without treatment is amazing. To quit cursing without tapering off is amazing. To change and be so different is unbelievable to the world. Amen. If you are listening today and you're saved, you can look back and see the change and changes that you've made in your life because of you coming to Christ, for believing on him, for trusting in only his shed blood and nothing else to save you. And you can thank God. The things that you might have tried to change before you were saved, you did not have the power. But thank God now you have the power of the Holy Spirit, to give you victory over the things in your life that you need to get rid of. Amen. See, my dear friend listening today, if you're saved, you're truly saved, you're truly born again, you haven't turned over a new leaf. You haven't made some resolutions. Amen. My dear friend, you've been changed. You've been quickened. You've been made alive. Amen. The fourth thing I want us to see is believing without seeing assures our future. Believing without seeing assures our future. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." We will see our loved ones again. There'll be a new day, a great reunion with our family and with the saints of old. We've seen four promises to those who have believed, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing without seeing anchors our soul, number one. Believing without seeing affects our service, number two. Believing without seeing amazes our associates. Believing without seeing assures our future. See, faith is believing what God said. And God said clearly in the word, in His words, not in the words of men, not in some religious movement or denomination or whatever it may be, but He said, in order for you to be saved, saved from what? From going to hell, spending time and eternity in hell, in a lake of fire, saved from your sins, the penalty of your sins, which is hell. One thing that you have to do, or actually you don't have to do it, it's been done for you, Christ died on the cross, but you have to believe that He died on that cross, was buried, rose again the third day, so you wouldn't have to go to hell, so your sins would be forgiven, amen, and you'd secure a home in heaven for time and eternity. That's it. It's so simple. People miss it. It's not saying a prayer, amen. It's not holding somebody's hand or wait or going up in front of an altar. It's a heart thing. God looks at your heart. Amen. You have to believe in your heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His shed blood alone that saves you. Amen. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else that'll save you from going to hell. Won't you believe today? Believe God's words that we have redemption, that we're saved by the blood of Jesus and nothing else. My friends, let me leave this with this thought before we close today. Would you believe if you saw it? Don't continue in unbelief and then realize when it's too late that you have been so foolish. There's no reason why someday you die and then the next moment you wake up and you're in torments and you're in the lake of fire in hell for time and eternity. And you find out, yeah, I should have believed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's too late. You won't be able to do it. Believe on Him now. Believe on the shed blood. It's through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ that saves you and nothing else. My dear friends, listening today, again, I want to remind you each and every one of the studies on the pastor's study is available on CD. If you'll just drop me a line at the address given at the end of the broadcast, I'll send that name to study and I'll get it right out to you. And also I have a catalog, free of charge, listing all the studies that are available on CD. If you'd like that, request that as well. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.